Philippians chapter 4, commencing to read at verse number 4. We remember as we continue our study this morning, the little guiding verse that's found in the book of Galatians, and the chapter number 5 and the verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And here we read in God's Word, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And we know that God will truly add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word for his name's sake and for his glory. Last Lord's Day morning, as we were in our study on Christmas Sunday morning, remember the opening words of the angel that appeared unto the shepherds in the field in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 verse 10. And it says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And so therefore we can rejoice in the Lord, as we read in Philippians chapter 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. And last Lord's Day morning we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. It's first of all love and then it is joy. But whenever the angelic host joined with the angels in Luke chapter 2, and the message was given, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, this is what the heavenly host says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so we find the concluding part of the message of the angelic host, as they all joined together, was, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And that brings us to the third fruit of the Spirit, because it says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we have studied that with joy, and we have studied that, and now we come to peace. And we're looking at that concluding part of the angel or the angelic host message, and that is peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You know, among the world today, and among peoples of the world today, there is a great talk about peace. I suppose it would be regarded as the greatest attainment that the world could ever have, or could ever achieve, is the achievement of peace. They say, if only we could have peace, it would be a different world, and so it would. I'm told that after World War I, that bloody war, that crossed the world, it was said after that was over, it said, never again. Never again. But you and I know that not only was there World War I, but there was World War II. And whilst man would say, never again, as far as man was concerned, we find that man had broken that desire, or even that covenant, never again, and soon the world was plunged into a Second World War and the tragedies of what that followed. And since that time, of course, war upon war to this very day. We find that our soldiers are out in Afghanistan and they're fighting one of the most dangerous wars that I suppose our soldiers have ever faced. So then the tumultuous history of the 20th century, now in the 21st century, I suppose this is the single subject that's prominent in the minds of men and women. It is the subject of peace or world peace. With all their dreams and with all their hopes and with all their aspirations for this world peace, and yet there is no peace. As the prophet Jeremiah said, they will say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Just a few weeks ago, they presented the peace, the Nobel Peace Prize to Barack Obama. Amazing thing is this, he is the commander-in-chief fighting a war out in Afghanistan, and yet they give him a world peace prize. But I suppose there were other considerations in the midst of the giving him of that award. But friend, we don't have peace. And so we find here that it's on the lips. And even as we end this year and we come into 2010 and the will of God, it'll be upon the lips of countless millions, this desire, this craving for peace, world peace. It's a prize that the world leaders would yearn after. It's a cry that's within the depths of many a soul today. I've only had peace. And yet, friends, whilst it's true that many yearn after it, the truth is also that many do not find it. When you go to Israel, the very first word that is spoken to you by the Jew is shalom. If you were to go to Egypt, the very first word that was said would be salam. What is that greeting? What are they saying to you in that troubled part of the world in the Middle East? What is that traditional Jewish greeting or that Arab greeting? What does it mean? It's the word peace. And yet you and I know that amidst the Arab nations of the world, that little spot in the world of Israel, there's something that is missing today, and it is peace. It's interesting that both those words, shalom and salam, describes the state and the completeness of a person in a right relationship, the one with the other and with God. The word peace is repeated over and over again in the New Testament. Whenever you open Paul's epistles, what do you find? What's the normal greeting that is in Paul's epistle? Let's just look at something. Let's turn to the book of Romans. And when you open the book of Romans, chapter 1, and what do you read first of all? It says this, Paul, a servant. A servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Then go down to verse number 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the greetings that we find in the number of the epistles of Paul. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians then. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Verse number 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to the book of Galatians. And in the first chapter of the book of Galatians, we find once again the greeting, Paul, an apostle. Here's the writer of the book. And he's emphasizing he's not of man, and not by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And he's writing unto the churches at Galatia. Verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find that, of course, the peace that is spoken of is linked with grace. And for God to give you peace, you've got to know the grace of God. And the grace of God is great riches at Christ's expense. It is the undeserved, it is the unmerited favor of God, friend. It is God's love towards us. Though we did not deserve the love of God and the grace of God, yet God in Christ loved us and manifested His grace in His Son. The very foundational truth, of course, of the fruit of the Spirit, the very foundational truth is that of love. And then last Lord's Day we said, but of course where there's love, there's something that follows, because if a person's loved, there's a joy. And if you really have a love, you're really loved, friend, and you have love in your heart, there will be a joy. It's as natural as night follows day, or day follows night. Joy will certainly follow, but there's something that's also as natural that follows love and joy. It is peace. Then let me tell you, that's what the Lord Jesus wants you to possess. That's what the Lord Jesus wants you to experience and know today. What did He say before He left His disciples? Because He knew that they were in trouble. They were troubled in mind. And He said, let not your heart be troubled. Maybe you've come to God's house today. And maybe circumstance has you troubled. Maybe, friend, in your life there's trouble that nobody else knows anything about. And the Lord Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in Me. Place your situation in the Master's hand. Trust Me, says the Lord. In every situation, thank God, if I can trust Him to save my soul and settle my destiny for heaven, I can trust Him for time. And undertake for me. Remember that every joy or trial falleth from above. I can trust Him for everything. And then He said this, knowing their hearts were troubled. And He says, let not your heart be troubled. And He points them to trust and faith in Him. And then He says this, He said, peace I leave you. Verse 27. He says, I'm leaving something with you. He says, peace I leave with you. And He says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. You see, friend, whenever we think about peace in this world, many people speak of peace today as the absence of war, the absence of hostilities, or the cessation of hostilities, and the absence of war and the absence of tension. But the word shalom, or peace, is more positive in it and contains the idea of order and well-being. But the peace that Christ speaks about is something deeper than that. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It is a peace, friend, that is something that will stay you, as we'll see in a moment, irrespective of your circumstances, irrespective of your situation. Because the ingredients, when you mix love and joy together, it brings peace. You know what I'm talking about today? Let's first of all think about this peace that is talked about here. It is the gift of peace. I quoted it a moment ago in John chapter 14. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. It is the gift of peace. You see, it's the peace of God. It's the peace of God. That's a wonderful thing to experience. You know, there's difference. We'll see this in a moment. There is not only the peace of God, there is peace with God. Now, they're linked together, but they're different. And over again in the Bible, it speaks about the peace of God. For example, Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, in the verse number 33, it says this, now the peace of God be with you all. The peace of God be with you all. Or Romans chapter 16, look in verse number 20. It says this, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan until or under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The God of peace shall be with you. 2 Corinthians, in the chapter number 13, in the verse number 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. The peace of God. The God of peace. You see, He's the one who gives us peace. It's a gift of peace. This is not something that is engineered or worked up by man. This is not something that you work for or that you attain of yourself. It is a gift of God. Remember, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not something that you can achieve in your own selves or by your own merits or by your own doing. Of course, peace was purchased at the cross. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, in the verse number 20, it tells us concerning that peace which God gives to our hearts. It says this, "And having made peace through the blood of the cross." Friend, I'm sure, I know God has been good to you. God has given you many gifts. But I'll tell you, one of the richest gifts that God can give to your heart and to your life today is peace. The peace of God. "My peace I give unto you." And this peace is through His Son. It's through the cross. It's through what Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary. It is a gift of God to His people. It was purchased by God's Son at the cross. "My peace," the Savior says, "give I unto you." And then it's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And what I'm saying to you is this. When you study the Scriptures, you'll find that the three persons of the adorable Trinity is involved in this peace. Because the Father planned it for me. I am the Son procured it for me. And then the Holy Spirit produces it within me. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I said a moment ago, there's a difference between the peace of God and peace with God. If a man is at peace with God, what that points to is there is a new relationship. Because the Bible tells us that in the natural state, man is at enmity with God. It says in Colossians 1 verse 20, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works." That's what the state of the nature, the natural man is. He's at enmity with God. He is an enemy with God. He is alienated from God. In other words, you are separated through your sin from God Himself. But when you're at peace with God, that means there is a new relationship. Instead of enmity, instead of alienated, instead of being separated from God and driven out from God, you are brought nigh to God. You are brought into a new relationship with God. You are at peace with God. Are you at peace with God today? Can you honestly say that you're at peace with God? Can you lay your head upon the pillow and know at night that you're not at enmity with God anymore? Can you honestly say, preacher, this morning, "I'm glad the enmity is past. I'm glad that the separation is past. I'm glad that I'm no longer an enemy of God. I've been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." It's through the blood of the cross.
We have peace. We have it. We can have it right now. We have peace with God.
Look at Colossians 1, 20 and 21 again. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, ye now have he reconciled. Thank God, there's a new relationship. And when a person is born again of the Spirit of God, when a person is justified by faith, then thank God we're brought into a new relationship with God. There's a lovely word that the Lord Jesus spoke to his Heavenly Father. Just turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, a moment. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says in verse 34, and the Lord Jesus said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Notice the word, Abba, Father. See, but what's that got to do with us? Then turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8 it says this, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry. What's the next word? Abba, Father. You say, but preacher, what's strange in that? Let me tell you, my friend. There is an amazing privilege there. In that through the Spirit, we can use the same word that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, used to his Father. It is a word, Abba. You see, Abba was used in ancient Palestine, and it was a special word, because it was the word that was used by a little child to his father. It's the same word as Papa. Papa. It's a special word of endearment. When a little child looks into the face of his daddy and says, Papa, Abba, Father. And why can we use such a word then? Because it says here, we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. That's what the Savior used in the Garden of Gethsemane. Abba, Father. And it's because of our union with Christ, friend, that we can enjoy this peace with God. It's because of our union with Christ that we too can cry, Abba, Father, because we have received the spirit of adoption. We are in the family of God, friend. And we who were one time far off, we are brought nigh. We who one time were alienated from God and separated from God and at enmity with God and an enemy of God, thank God we're brought into that sweet union of the family whereby we can cry, Abba Father. And friend, that simply means that we have peace with God through the blood of the cross. Thank God the war is over. Thank God there on Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ, God's Son, He drank damnation dry. He bore all the punishment and all the pain and endured all the separation that you and I deserve because of our sin. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was placed upon Him. Thank God by His stripes we're healed, and we are in the family. And because of that union, through Christ, through the cross, through the blood, we have peace with God. Abba, there's something that follows. Because not only is there the peace with God, there is the peace of God. And that's the result of the peace with God, friend. Because whenever you are in the family of God, thank God, then you can have the peace of God within your soul. The root of the Greek word for peace includes the meaning to join or to set at one. And God's peace within your soul, friend, is the result of you and I being at harmony with God. When we know our sins are forgiven, when we know our sins are pardoned, then the Holy Spirit produces the peace of God within our soul. You see, the sad thing is this: lack of assurance takes away from a man the peace of God. And the old devil, he will try to take away from the child of God the lack of assurance. But thank God the Holy Spirit reminds us that God is satisfied with what Christ did for us upon the cross. The Holy Spirit of God reminds us that we are freely justified by God's grace and through the Savior's blood. The pardon which you received by faith in Christ. And thank God the Holy Spirit reminds us that Christ is all sufficient. He's all we need. In His person and in His work, He is all I need. And friend, let me tell you, if you rest your soul in Christ today, if you rest your soul in what Jesus Christ did upon the cross, you dwell upon the things, this great truth that God reminds you, that God is satisfied with what Christ did for you upon the cross of Calvary. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Sinner, let me tell you this morning, you need nothing else but Jesus. You can rest upon what Christ did. Why? Because God was satisfied. He drew the sword and plunged it into the bosom of His own Son as He bare our sins upon His own body on the tree. Thank God what Christ did is all I need. God was satisfied with His Son. And on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cried these words, "It is finished." And you don't need to go to hell today. You don't need to perish this morning. You don't need to go into the depths of the caverns of hell. Listen, this final Sunday morning in this congregation of Calvary Free Church, come to the cross of Calvary by faith and realize what Jesus did was all that was needed. Rest your soul. God was satisfied. Glory to God, friend. I'm satisfied in Christ. He said, it is finished. Thank God he didn't say, I'm finished, but he said, it is finished. And because of that, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say this morning? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Have you that sweet assurance in your soul? Because I can tell you this, once you get that sweet assurance of God's pardon in your soul, there's something that will flood your soul, friend. It's the peace of God. The witness of the Spirit of God within your soul, that all is well. That there's nothing can separate you from God or from His love. That's the gift of peace. Time's away this morning. I just mentioned where we're going to. We're coming to the guardian of peace. Because I love those words. We read them in Philippians chapter 4. This is what it said. In Philippians chapter 4, go to verse number 6. It says, be careful for nothing. You know, we get easily worked up, don't we, about things. We get ourselves into that tizzy. Things are not working out the way we want them. Maybe things just seem to be going from one situation, disaster, to the other. Be careful. Be over anxious for nothing, friend. Let me tell you this. Being over anxious won't settle it. He says this. Which one of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? Not one. Now that doesn't mean that we're to be thoughtless. A lot of people are thoughtless. The old saying is, he hasn't a thought in his head. God's not saying that. And God's not saying here, be careless, when he says, be careful for nothing. He's saying, be careful for nothing, but instead of you trying to work it all out yourself, instead of you getting yourself so anxious that you're worth nothing in that day, listen, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. That's what happened. When you really hand it over to God, friend, the guardian of peace. I remember where Paul was when he wrote this. He was in prison. In an old dirty dungeon. He had hardly anything on him or in him. And it seemed to be that everyone was against him. And yet he said this, rejoice in the Lord always. He says, again I say rejoice. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, friend, one of the greatest attacks of hell today is upon even the child of God's mind. The devil wants to put God's child, you see, he can't get your soul. That's already said. He can't take you to hell because that's already settled, friend. You'll never tread the coals and the fires of a lost sinner's hell. For the old account was settled long ago. The record's clear today. For he washed my sins away and the old account was settled long ago. He can't destroy your destiny. But he tried to attack your life. And it says here, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Let me tell you, this peace that's so wonderful, friend, so mighty, it passeth all understanding. The wee man said to me, Scotland, it's far better felt than felt, because he couldn't get words to express it. But boy, he knew it. It passeth all understanding. This peace shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. There's the guardian of peace. Because the word there, keep, means to guard. Or to watch. Or to garrison. The picture is the sentry appointed for duty. And the peace of God shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Oh, may we know the peace of God today. It passeth all understanding. But you will never know the peace of God until you have peace with God through the blood of the Savior's cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask of thee today that those in this gathering that know nothing of what it is to experience peace with God, oh, today that they might come and rest at the cross. Oh, that they might come by faith and visit Calvary, and by faith receive Him who can deal with all of our sin in His atoning blood. Bless thy word to our hearts this morning. Help us to leave thy house this day rejoicing that what no accuser roar of deeds that I have done, of all of these and millions more, Jehovah findeth none. They're underneath the blood of the Christ of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me, praise God, my sins are gone. Peace with God through the blood of His cross. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for His glory.